Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 21st. Joining us this morning from Redwood Capital Bank is cybersecurity dude.
That's my official title. That's my official title.
Well, you know, I'm thinking, you know, erasing things or losing things used to be the big deal, not somebody stealing things.
Right.
How things have changed over the years.
They certainly have.
We will talk about that in just a second. Are you ready for your question this morning?
Certainly. I didn't.
That sounds pretty positive.
This is a pop quiz.
Okay. Why do the wires strung between telephone poles sometimes hum?
I don't know the answer to that question, Brian.
It's kind of like hum.
Sounds like that.
It's not the electricity that makes the wires hum. The hum is caused by the wind passing through the wires and vibrating them to make a sound that varies in pitch depending on the speed of the wind or the tightness of the wire.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, for us, it's the guy wires on the towers.
Yeah.
Depending on how strong the wind may be or may not be, there's a definite hum.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Another mystery solved right here, right now. Oh, so when you were hearing the stories about the oil pipeline in the southeast being held up, what was your immediate response?
Well, it's interesting. So the Colonial Pipeline is headquartered in Georgia, and it was back in early May. They announced that they had been the victim of a cyber attack and that they were pretty much shutting down their operations in order to respond to that. I think the part that usually, you know, you hear about these things, the part that surprises me the most is that these large companies like this are, you know, still kind of unable to respond quickly to those kinds of attacks.
The response was, lack of?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like they were down for almost a week trying to recover from this thing. And, you know, Redwood Capital Bank, we've actually experienced, it's been a few years now, but we have experienced a ransomware attack also. But we were able to quickly, within the same day, get everything basically set up and restored from our backups so that we didn't really have any downtime. So
was it an issue of magnitude?
Probably so. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. One thing that I also found was interesting with the Colonial Pipeline situation was I read this in a couple different places. I haven't verified this or not, but they said that the attack actually hit their billing systems, not their operational facilities. And they chose to just shut it down for that time because they didn't have any way to bill their customers, so they had no way to get paid for the services that they were providing. So I just thought that was an interesting...
Well, that's not a positive, is it?
No, it's certainly not. But I guess just the magnitude of it, and you know, they ended up paying the Colonial Pipeline folks, they ended up paying the ransom, and I think it was they paid it in Bitcoin. At the time this happened back in May, but I don't know what the conversion rate was, but I could do the math, I suppose. If they paid 75 Bitcoin to get the keys to unencrypt their data, that amounted to about $4.4 million in American funds. So they got, when you pay the ransomware people, the attackers, to get the keys to basically unencrypt that data, they said that it was taking so terribly long for that program to work that they ended up just restoring from their backups anyway. So I guess, you know, it is an order of magnitude, I'm sure. I imagine their systems are very complex and huge. But, you know, it just surprises me that they didn't just probably go right to the data backup restore in the first place.
My initial thought, and of course, you know, you're involved and I'm not, is the vulnerability. Mm-hmm. What other systems are vulnerable? What water systems?
Yeah.
What other areas that, let's say, tapping into, I don't know, pick your favorite vehicle brand.
Yeah.
Computer chips, et cetera, let alone Defense Department and some of these other larger areas. And I know there's cyber defense and, you know, some areas that we know nothing about, but if they get into a major company like that, okay,
Yeah.
What else is potentially out there for somebody that wants to hold people up?
Everything. I mean, anything that has a that can be monetized for particular gain. So right after the Colonial Pipeline incident in early May, there was another pretty major attack at JBS, I think it is, JBS Meat, major meat distribution company in the United States. And same kind of a thing. It was a malware attack, and they ended up paying actually more than the Colonial Pipeline did. I think JBS Meat ended up paying about $11 million. So, and they haven't got any of their money back. The Colonial Pipeline was able to retrieve some of their, a pretty sizable chunk of the money that they ended up paying to get those unencryption tools. But I guess the point is, really anything is vulnerable as long as there is a way for these criminals to monetize that. And if people are paying it, what's the incentive to not to stop doing it?
Now, early on, it was flash sticks, right?
Yeah.
That was the vulnerability access. Somebody would go to their computer, tap in, pull it out, and then go out. Now, you know, with the technology advancements as they are, is the only real way for a business not to have vulnerability is just not to be on the internet?
Yeah. Well, that's the only 100% secure way to do it. That's true. I think it's just important for businesses to take it seriously and to train their employees. You know, something I've learned over the years in doing this job, they say, you know, you see these movies, these old movies where, you know, you'd have like guys trying to hack in and they're like on a green screen and they're typing commands into a computer and they're trying to break through this firewall. Well, that isn't actually how it really happens. What happens is somebody gets an email at a company. It looks legitimate. It looks like it's from Amazon. And they click on a link. And next thing you know, they've been compromised.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Dave Tierney from Redwood Capital Bank. Dave's in charge of security, electronic security, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, payroll, that used to be the big thing, right?
Yeah.
I've been reading some books about dead ball era baseball players, and they're talking about some of the different things that were going on at that time, you know, and the glorification of some of the bank robbers, you know, the Dillingers and Capones and those folks. Okay. Cyber stealing isn't nearly as sexy. You don't know who these people are by design. So when you have some of these different folks who have these inclinations, are they, you'd said that they're not sitting there hacking by coding, they're just sending email attachments, and then when it arrives, something happens at that point?
Yeah. That's the biggest vulnerability in most organizations is the people, and that's because people are humans. We respond to things in different ways. If an email is sent to you that is crafted in such a way to elicit a sense of urgency or fear, people have a tendency to act on those things just because that's our human nature. So the hackers figured that out a long time ago, and that's what they are now using. That's how they broke into the Colonial Pipeline system. That's how they broke into the JBS Meat system. That's how they get into most of these things. So It's just really important for people to just be aware of that, and not just people, but also, you know, the companies and the people who are running, you know, the businesses around town and around the country just really need to take that into consideration and tailor their security programs that to include, you know, employee training and make sure people are aware of the risk involved and the fact that, as was the case with the Colonial Pipeline, all it takes is one person, one password. That's all they needed, and they had access to everything. So,
but they don't go in necessarily for payroll anymore.
This is
a different dynamic. This isn't the fraud thing. This is basically, without using a gun, holding you up.
Yeah, basically they what they're doing is called ransomware. That's really the biggest issue right now. There have been many others other than the two we've talked about here, but they will take a program that encrypts all of your data on your network, and only they have the encryption key to unencrypt that. So all of your files, all of your information, all of your data is basically held hostage, and you can't get it back unless you do one of two things: either pay the ransom and get the encryption key from the hacker, or, you know, like I was saying earlier, restore from your backups. Hopefully you've got a really solid backup system that you can get that data back. Now, you may lose half a day's worth of information if people have been doing updates that day and you have to restore from last night's backup. You may end up a little behind there, but it's in a lot of cases better than, you know, paying the money. And a lot of times, if you these folks pay those ransoms and then they are given an encryption key that doesn't even work, so there's no guarantee that if you pay that ransom that you're going to even get your information back. So it's super important to, you know, have the good backups. And then, you know, like I said, as a person who's using email or online as part of your job, just making sure that you're aware that email is not really a secure form of communication anymore.
Kind of sounds like a backup server.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to lose everything, you know, it's that cataclysmic event.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I think probably most folks at least have thought a little bit about it.
Yeah,
maybe
hope
they're
so.
Not in a spot where they can have a completely redundant system.
Mm-hmm.
Understood.
Yep.
But thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, just the employee awareness is huge, and not just if you're an employee, but just as, you know, you're looking through your Gmail and you see that link or that email that comes through that says, "Hey, your credit card's past due. Click here to fix it." And you know, start giving out information that way. That's a red flag. So, another thing that they're starting to do now. In fact, we're getting a lot of this at the bank, where they will impersonate an employee at the bank. John Dalby is actually one that we get a lot of emails.
Oh, geez, you mean there's a clone?
Sorry to break the news to you.
Yeah, what a major concern.
There's another one out there. But it'll say, you know, "Hey Dave, it's John. What, you know, are you busy right now? Please contact me." And it's just an attempt to try to engage in a conversation that will eventually lead to you know, them asking you to go buy a bunch of gift cards and send them the codes on those.
So it's kind of like the old phone call.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And that's where, right, you would want to, you know, in that situation, look at that email and say, "Well, would John Dalby really want me to go buy a bunch of gift cards at a store in order to pay a vendor or something?" Like, no.
Wouldn't the email address be
that's another
different?
That is another very clear indicator, yeah. So, but those are, you'd be surprised at how often those things are missed, because you can put the name, you can put any name you
Net
want
instead
in there.
Of com,
yeah,
kind of thing,
yep,
or business instead,
yep,
of com.
You can just try to masquerade it a little bit, and you can put John Dalby as the name, but then if you know, it takes another second to look to see what the email address actually is, and you're right, that would be a very clear indicator that it's not, in fact, John Dalby.
Right.
You'd be surprised at how often those things get missed, so it's just, again, just being very aware and diligent about it.
Yeah, you know what you take a moment.
Take a moment. Think before you click. That's the mantra nowadays.
Think before you click. That doesn't even rhyme.
No, it doesn't. It's not very catchy. But
yeah. Yeah, maybe some marketing genius will come up with something that's a little bit better than that one.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Dave Turney from Redwood Capital Bank. Dave, the concept of working at home or the at-home office, there are folks, consultants, authors. There are some that has always been the case. Okay, fair enough. They've got their systems in play and life really was changed, but not as impacted as some others. For those that are either just starting to work at home, which seems a little weird, but or those opting to continue to work at home and their job has evolved to this point where they're able to, either for a small or a large portion of their workday. Does that open up a whole different can of worms of concern other than, you know, spilling coffee on the keyboard or the kids coming in or the cat walking across the keyboard and all of a sudden, you know, you got something goofy going on?
Those are all very real threats, those things you just mentioned.
Those cats on
coffee,
the keyboard.
Cats, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But yes, you're actually hitting on a very kind of an important piece of all of that, and that is, you know, when you're working from home, depending on how your setup is with your business, you may be working from home using a home computer or a home laptop that is yours, not the company's. And therefore, you know, there is some risk there that perhaps that system that you're using has not been perhaps patched to the appropriate levels for security patches, or maybe it's not running a current version of an antivirus software, things like that. So
I would suspect that most businesses, if Dave's going to work from home, I'm going to give you a business property computer that's only good for kind of like the Chromebooks for the kids in school. And I don't know, is that an option? Is that something that's available for businesses to do if they are going to have their people working offsite on a regularly scheduled basis?
Absolutely, and that's how Redwood Capital Bank has done it. But you know, there is an investment there, and depending on the size of the company. But so you're right. That is the best way to do it, because then you've got your system that is kind of managed and governed by the same security policies as all the other computers on the inside of the network. So that's the ideal situation, and I would hope that most places would do it that way. But I think there are probably exceptions to that. Extending that now, you know, the challenge is as a security administrator, you're no longer just working on this kind of finite set of computers within your building or within your series of buildings. You're now extending out to people's homes, and that's where the challenge gets in there as far as managing all of that in an effective way.
Wireless routers.
Mm-hmm.
Weak point or is it just a point?
It can be a weak point. Particularly, if you're using – so at home, your wireless router, as long as you're, you know, putting a password on it, that it's the WPA2 security protocol and, you know, you have
that – Does that mean not the 123 or the 000?
That's what that means.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thanks. Remember who you're talking to.
Yeah, WPA2 is just an encryption protocol. But, you know, and then also changing the default administrator password that comes with that router. So all these routers, you take it home from the store, you unbox it, you have an admin password that you can log in with. That same admin password works on all the routers that come out of that store. So make sure you're changing that that default password so that someone else couldn't come in and access that thing. But where it gets a little bit, you know, so that's at home. Where it gets a little bit dicier is out in the public, out in the world, at airports, for example. You want to be really careful about jumping on a free public Wi-Fi network at an airport and doing any kind of, you know, financial transactions or anything like that. In fact, I would strongly suggest you don't do that. Most of us now have like an iPhone or a Android phone where we can use the phone. Like if we have an iPad that we want to use for browsing the internet at an airport or reading a book on Kindle or something, you can tether that to your phone and use your own, basically your own Wi-Fi through your tethering capabilities of the mobile phone. But yeah, you want to be careful with those hotspots because you just don't know who's there. You don't know who's running them. There could be another computer that's watching all that traffic go through and looking for, you know, passwords or anything like that. So it's dangerous.
Credit cards in an email probably are verboten.
Yes.
I mean, it's some of those basic things that folks, you know,
yeah.
We're focusing on the complicated instead of some of the basic.
Yeah. Yeah, you just, you know, emails are just inherently insecure. So any kind of personal information, whether it's a credit card number, whether it's a driver's license number, an account number at a bank, you know, certainly your social security number, any of those things, it's just a no-no. You don't want to send those in a regular unencrypted email that anybody could potentially get a hold of and look at.
If somebody doesn't know how to encrypt, is it complicated? Or is it a program?
I guess that kind of depends on the solution. I mean, it's a little bit complicated in that, you know, it typically is going to require a special software to set up and do it for you. It also requires that the person you're sending it to has to have some kind of credential or some kind of login authentication to unencrypt it. So typically the way those work is like if I'm going to send you an encrypted email, I'll go ahead and send it to you. I'll click the little button that my software allows me to encrypt that thing. It's going to go to you, but the actual email itself is going to sit on a web server, a secure web server. What you're going to get is an invitation to log into that web server to see that email that I sent you. And you'll have to create a password and you'll have to, you know, do a few things to authenticate. So anytime you introduce more security, it does get more complicated, but it's from a business perspective, it's well worth the investment to be, you know, to be looking at those things and taking those things into consideration.
It's so, more better.
Absolutely.
But now how do you get the password if it's not by an email?
Well, so that kind of depends too. Yeah, there's lots of ways to do that. Sometimes we'll send the email to the customer and then we'll call them and say, here's what your password is going to be for this email. So
there's mean that old-fashioned contact?
Telephones are still still in play here.
All right. Even if you're under the age of 30. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Cyber Whiz Dave Tierney. Okay, so that's about the fourth title for you so far.
That's my favorite one so far.
All right. This Amazon Prime Day that we were hearing about a little bit earlier this hour, over and over and over. Is this a window of opportunity for people to take advantage of people that are a little less sophisticated mm-hmm. in their habits? Yeah, we used to see things like the porch pirates.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that'll probably be something that'll surface a little bit later on. But this is at the wide end of the funnel where the system starts. I would suspect that there are those that are trying to appear like Amazon today and for however long this promotion goes on. Mm-hmm. How do you tell the difference between real and not real and a safe measure, and a not so safe move.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is getting more and more challenging. It used to be pretty apparent. You know, the bad guys who were sending these emails, like you might find an email in your inbox that says, "Hey, it's Amazon Prime Day. Check out these deals. Click here for, you know, amazing 25% off, whatever." It used to be that, you know, because a lot of these guys are kind of foreign actors, right? So you got a lot of Russians and others out there that are kind of behind these things. So the English was kind of broken and not really, it was pretty easy to tell. They've gotten a lot better. They're a lot more sophisticated at how they do that. So it can be harder to look at those things. I mean, you know, I guess the top of the list for me would be, you know, if you get an email that says it's from Amazon and click here for 25% off deals, don't click there. Just pull up your browser and just type in Amazon.com yourself and just take yourself to the website instead of following a link that someone else sent you. That'd be one thing. You can also, you know, in many systems, when you move your mouse around and you hover your mouse over a link that's an attachment in an email, the actual link will often pop up right where your mouse cursor is on the screen, because they can mask those links. It could say, like, click here for the deal, and the click here piece is what's the hyperlink, but you can't really tell where that's going. So hover your mouse over that click here or whatever the link is. Sometimes that'll give you clues. You know, if it says, you know, click here for your 25% off Amazon, and you hover your mouse on it and it says something that's not even close to Amazon, that might be a red flag to look for. So, again, it's really just, you know, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, with this kind of promotion going on, so, you know, like Black Day sales and all those things, like those are prime opportunities for people to where they're at their most vulnerable.
Sure, the poundage and the excitement.
Yeah. And also, you know, things, other current events that happened in the world. COVID was a huge one where, you know, people were so worked up and afraid, and, you know, there's a lot of fear out there about COVID. So bad guys were taking advantage of that and sending emails trying to, like, you know, hey, there's news on a vaccine. Click here to get this latest vaccine news or whatever. So they really do just try to prey on our humanness, which is, you know, we can't do anything about that other than just try to be diligent humans.
Now, what about leaving credit cards on websites, legit websites? Everything's okay. Say, do you want us to save this information? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Is it always no?
For me, it is, but there's a case could be made either way. You know, it's kind of like the password managers. You know, you can buy a password manager software you can put on your computer, and you type in all of your website passwords into that system. That way, when you go to those websites, you're not actually keying them in, which would be potentially could be a vehicle for if somebody has a keystroke logger running on your computer.
Or save you 4 or 5 hours.
yes. It is very handy, actually. And also the thing that the password managers will allow you to do is you can use a different password for all your different sites, because you really only have to remember the one to get into your password manager. Therefore, you theoretically can use different passwords for everything else, which is much more secure than using the same password on all of your sites.
The one that you can remember.
The one that you can remember.
Yeah.
But then if it is compromised, then all of your systems are compromised at that point. So it's a delicate game. For me, it's no, but, you know.
Rule of thumb, take your time.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yep. Think before you click, take your time. Just don't get in too much of a hurry to you know, do something dangerous.
Like what? Cross the street.
That's right.
That would be hitting the button there on the crosswalk.
Yeah.
All righty, Dave. Thanks for coming by.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
See you again. See everybody tomorrow.